Join me now is Dr. Mike Davidson. He's not only had the conversion therapy, he's also a conversion therapist. Good afternoon to you, Doctor.
Hello. I'm not a conversion therapist. That would be a term we wouldn't use. I simply provide therapeutic support for unwanted same-sex attraction.
So you would talk somebody through an issue they were possibly having?
Well, I would certainly meet with folk who, for whatever reason, don't want to continue in terms of gay relationships or gay behaviors, and they want to explore the possibilities in terms of their sexual fluidity.
That might be where the mistake happened. That would sound to a lot of people like a therapist, but I accept that, Doctor. Listen, do you mind? Because I'm an inquisitive kind of guy, and I really mm-hmm. want to know a little bit about you. Do you mind? I hope you don't.
Go ahead.
Just tell me your journey through the therapy itself.
Well, I grew up in a part of the world a while ago where really there was nowhere to talk about this issue. So it was something that felt very natural to me. And certainly I didn't use the term gay, but I knew exactly what the phenomena and the feelings were all about.
You were attracted to other men?
Absolutely. And eventually,
can I just stop you and say, were you not attracted to women, or were you attracted to men and women?
No, I was attracted to women, but there was deep conflict inside of me about these feelings. And so, to cut a long story short, I married, but there was conflict within the marriage because things were not resolved. And so I sought professional help, and I was given it. And that's what I think is tragic today, that is being denied people.
Okay, so we'll get to the big politics of it, if you don't mm-hmm. mind. But my area of interest is honestly people and their thought patterns and how they were feeling. Because if you fancied men and you fancied your wife, that would just make you bisexual, wouldn't it?
Well, I'm not sure that these labels really are particularly helpful, because what it does is categorize people, and they're in these categories, when in fact I think science is really showing quite loudly that sexuality is fluid and all sorts of human beings can go in different directions, and I certainly experience that. And for me, it was important in terms of my own values to sort out what was going on, and in terms of, you know, the viability of my relationship with my wife.
We could cut through a lot of this, because you're using interesting terms. You felt guilty about fancying a guy.
I did.
Did your wife know that you fancied guys?
Yes, we spoke about the issues.
Before you got married?
Yes.
So I fancy guys, but I want to marry you.
Well, it's never that simple, is it? It was more about the fact that there had been some experiences in my life that I felt I needed to come clean about, and I did.
Did you ever act out on them?
Yes, I did.
Hey, did your wife know that?
Yes.
What is this conflict? Because I know if you're something and you don't want to be it, right, or you don't want to do it, I know that in terms of something which is a pejorative, as in seen as a negative. So I've had an interview, and I don't want to make this comparison to get anybody upset, but I have to make it to explain what I'm talking about, with somebody who felt he was attracted to particularly young people. And then he felt it was wrong because it's illegal, it's immoral, and he didn't want to do it. So he felt it was wrong. There are people who are attracted to the same sex who do not feel it's immoral, illegal, or something that they should feel embarrassed about. Do you accept that it was something particular to you, or do you think that's how a lot of people feel?
Well, it was certainly something specific to me, but there are a lot of people. There is a population group who are just not happy having gone through the experiences that they have. And I think they need to be respected. It's not that they have to become the model for everyone in the world, but minority rights are important. And if this group expresses a wish to go in another direction, I really can't see how the government can work to ban that decision that they've made.
Did you regard it as an illness?
No, I didn't. I didn't see it as a mental illness. To be honest, I think there were some very shaky areas. There was certainly a lack of self-esteem. There was certainly a certain amount of depression. There were those things.
See, I've heard of that before, but I hear that in relation to living the lie that would be marrying a woman.
Well, you know, it's part of the human condition. It can be contingent on all sorts of issues in life. Those were just my circumstances. I don't think there was anything special or, you know, unique. It's just where I was. And you asked how my journey went. I'm sharing specifically that's how it was with me.
Please forgive me if I don't sound as though I truly appreciate.
Because what happens,
Doctor, is that I'll talk to you and I'll talk to another guest and I'll invite parents and all sorts of people to come on board, and then we'll literally take the hour talking about it. And so it's important that I don't misrepresent you at all. So I truly appreciate how honest you have been. Tell me a little bit about your wife.
About my wife?
She sounds like an incredibly understanding human being.
Well, she is. That's why I love her, and that's why I prioritized our marriage, and she did with me. It was worth fighting for, and our two children were worth investing our time. And that's just our story, and that's what we built on.
That's fine. Well, did you seek out any homosexuals, any gay people to talk to?
To what?
To talk to.
You know, I'm sure I did, but at that time, things were very different. And this is before we emigrated to the UK, where I eventually got help. It was
But I know about that bit, and that bit you're happy to talk about. I'm interested in a different bit, if you don't mind, Doctor, which is I feel really bad. I feel guilty about the way I feel, and I've talked to these people here to get treatment. But actually, did you talk to these people over here who are happily gay, who may also have had a struggle through whatever they were going to get to where they are now?
I certainly read about them. I certainly...
Yeah, but you didn't meet them.
You know, we're talking about a completely different era and a different culture outside of the UK. So it just wasn't on the table or on the cards.
Yeah, but you say that if you can meet people to have sex, if you can meet a guy and have a same-sex relationship, there will be other guys who you won't have relationships with, but you can talk to. If you can find him, you can find them, surely, if you want to.
Well, I'm sure I did have conversations with people, but I knew what I wanted to achieve in my life.
Ah, so you didn't want... So this is how I feel, but I don't want to feel like this.
Well, I certainly did. Nobody wants to feel guilty. Nobody wants to feel shame. Nobody wants to feel confusion. And what the, you know, respective parts of that were, or the proportion of all of those things were, I don't know. But when you are going through a crisis, you look for answers. And that's eventually what I was able to do.
What did they do or say to you?
Who? The therapists?
Yes.
I just explained my situation. They certainly challenged me.
What did you say?
You should just leave your wife and get on with your gay feelings. Mm. And that didn't sit well with me. But I still worked with him for a while. Others simply worked to understand what the conflict was and why it was there. But none of them promised me change or promised me or directed me to take the pathway that I was going in.
You still attracted to men?
I'm not attracted in the same way. I don't have the emotional deficit, I would say. That has been dealt with. I feel shoulder to shoulder.
How? Because that's a real challenge here, isn't it? When you come off, that'll be the bit that people will want to talk about. If you feel instinctively a particular way, how can you... I'm sorry, you're not going to like this label again. How can you be cured?
Well, what happened for me was I began to recognize that there were certain unmet emotional needs that I was trying to meet in a sexual context. So these needs became sexualized. But eventually what I found was those emotional needs that were unmet could be met in legitimate ways, in the sense that they were emotional needs and actually not sexual needs. And when I began to meet those needs in an emotional way, the sexual needs began to dissipate.
Do you not like the word cured? Is that, can I use that word?
No, it's a pejorative term. It's
I know it is.
Conversion therapy.
But that's clearly what the government, you know, thank you. I mean, but that's what the government are clearly reacting to. Otherwise, they wouldn't have banned it, would they?
Well, have they banned it? What they are talking about is banning it, but they first have to overcome the enormous legal hurdle of what they do with the European document about human rights, written in 1951 by British lawyers, that really gives us the scope to take trajectories and go in directions that we feel are important to ourselves. They have to deal with that before they simply close down on people's life choices.
Thank you so much for talking to, thank you for being so honest. I appreciate it.